Kansas, we're faced with a pretty unique position. The nation gets 50% of its energy from coal as the national standard, or the 50%. National average is 50% of its electrical energy from coal. Kansas gets, you know, estimates are anywhere between 70 and 75%, 77% of its electricity from coal. So we're at a higher rate than most other states. GPAE's position is that we are not an anti-coal organization. And I think that if you look at the reality of things, you're never going to be able to build a wind farm and remove a coal plant at this rate. And I think that...
Is it because wind technology is still in development?
No, to a certain extent. I think that we haven't yet seen the peak of wind production as far as the technology is concerned, though it's increasing rapidly and investment in it is increasing rapidly. The other fact remains that wind is intermittent. It's not unreliable. You can, if you account for what wind can create, it's reliable, and you can use it to as a stopgap, as a sort of hedge against increased cost of fossil fuels. You can use it to supply areas of your, you can use it to supply parts of your energy source, but you can't simply replace it wholesale because it is intermittent. The wind doesn't blow all the time, and the sun doesn't shine all the time.
Currently, how much of our energy is generated by wind power?
In the state?
In the U.S.
In the U.S.?
Yeah.
1% are the figures now. 1% of our energy comes from wind.
And in the state?
1% as well.
Still 1%. That's
yes.
Nothing.
It's tragically low.
And that's what GPAE is working on.
Yeah, we would say our position is, because the other thing that, you know, we can get pigeonholed as a anti-coal group, which we're not. We say that coal is going to be a part of the mix. It's going to have a place here. Now let's use it responsibly, let's maximize its efficiency, and let's not invest in any more of it yet, because it's as of now, the biggest risk to our health, our economy, and our environment. So simply stop. You know, let's take a deep breath and figure out what the alternatives are. Now, the other thing we can get pigeonholed as is a pro-wind group.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not purely a pro-wind group.
Or a pro-solar group.
Or a pro-solar group. We're not advocating any one industry over another. What we say is, if you were to treat the energy market like any other market, or for that matter, the Department of Energy in the state like any other department, if you were to audit it, there's two things that stand out glaringly. The first is that there's no real competitor in the energy market in this state. If 75% of our energy comes from coal, not only do they have no incentive to sort of clean up, the carbon emissions or the mercury emissions or anything like that, though I think those should come part and parcel in their effort, they have no incentive to maximize efficiency in coal plants. Estimates, you know, there's estimates out there that coal plants can match something like, nearly 40% more efficient. They can reduce energy at a 40% more efficient rate. That's a number I see as a real goal. If we get most of our energy from coal right now, if we didn't build another coal plant and we just maximize efficiency there, we can do that in a clean, renewable way, keep the jobs we have, keep the industry we have, and get everything we want out of that. Now, that's to me should drive the sort of auditing side of the department. It should say, well, what we have should run the most fluent. We would do it with education. We would do it with transportation. We would do it with the government. On the economic side of it, they have no incentive to do that because there's no other player here. So wind, solar, geothermal, localized wind, large-scale wind, these are new players on the market. If the science and the economics say that coal is a risky investment moving forward, if you've got major lenders saying the cost of carbon is going to factor into our lending to coal production, if you've got people saying, look, the health effects are real, the environmental effects are real, and the economic balance isn't there, then that's when we can say, okay, look, let's reevaluate the system. Let's reevaluate the system from the top down and weigh what the best options are.
Do we have time to do that?
Well, some would say, no, we don't have time for a large-scale, comprehensive sort of audit of our energy system. I think, though, rising prices, rising prices at the pump have made transportation energy very present to people. And we're, in some ways, dealing with problems now that we didn't deal with 30 years ago. On the electricity side of it, and the way we power homes and businesses, we haven't yet been faced with an energy spike, you know, but the talk of the cost, the increased cost of carbon and these types of things would lead one to say that's where it's going.
We hear so much about clean coal these days, but a lot of people are saying, well, there's no such thing as clean coal.
No, it doesn't exist now, in my opinion.
Can it exist?
I don't know, and I don't think that it's necessarily something that we couldn't explore. But it's one of those things where we get so much energy from coal right now, it would be investing wholesale on a very risky investment. Mm. You know, I think it's, to a certain extent, this is where the real issue comes in for people my age. If we don't say something about it, you know, if we don't weigh in on the way in which we produce and consume energy, we really stand the risk of losing out. The people in Topeka and in capital in Washington are playing high stakes poker with our future. My thing is if you've got a form of energy that we get at a comparatively high level, and it powers a lot of the lights and TVs in this state, maximize its efficiency. Let a new player come in wind and solar or renewables in general, and let them supplement some of this. Because the sort of untold benefit of wind and renewable is it's a new industry. It's new jobs. It's new vocational training. It's new schooling. It's new population.
New production.
And it takes place in places where Kansas has seen rapid population loss. Give rural Kansas the chance to rebuild itself and its communities in some ways without the subsidies that come with agriculture and let it have that back. And I think that's, in my opinion, the fringe benefit you get from that.
It's going to be hard changing the mindset in small towns in Kansas, even though their towns are dying.
To a certain extent, I think that's true. I mean, you always run into, especially in Kansas, you run into that sort of the paradox of,
and
you
as a grassroots organizer, you're the statewide organizer for GPACE. How do you go about promoting renewable energy? Or what's the response been?
Right. Well, if you look at, you know, there was a poll done last year commissioned by the Climate and Energy Project, which showed that almost 2-1 people were in favor, in statewide, people were in favor of renewable energy, of wind investment. So talking to people, and by no means is this an official number, but talking to people at the grassroots level, getting out and talking to people, you know, young people especially, they say, yes, we want wind energy. We want this in our state. We want, you know, you get direct payments. If you're a farmer and you give up space on your land to house wind farms, wind turbines, you get direct payments annually. The county receives, you know, tax revenue payments. It's this sort of groundswell of income that can come to these places. I don't think anybody's opposing that. I think that there's very real concern about, you know, I think that if you were to say, there's very real concern that's always been there about how reliable is wind, how much can I, if I just replace all the coal energy I get with wind energy right now, am I going to risk not being able to turn my lights on? Now we're seeing that sort of that fear being eased a little bit as there's large scale investment in wind. You see big projects in Texas. You see big pushes from people like T. Boone Pickens. You know, the Department of Energy released their annual report on wind energy in May, and it showed that there was in 2007 an increase, roughly 46% increase in production of wind projects in the country. That's a huge number over what they had estimated. So that's easing some of the fears. And I think that's getting to people. And I think that people are starting to realize there's growth in renewable energy. There's jobs in renewable energy. And if you supplement that with, you know, a lot of times the environmental community for the last 30 years has been one that said, what you offer is no longer what we want. We want totally new. But the reality is, and this isn't just a political reality, this is the reality of how things most often turn out, I would say, it's going to be a combination of things. Well, let's have some foresight now. Let's sit down and say, okay, in the 70s we didn't deal appropriately with transportation. Let's look forward and build an infrastructure that hedges our bets that gives us a ground level to work from, and then let's make smart decisions moving forward.
When you say, when you're out canvassing people out in these small towns, and you say, especially young people say, yes, we want wind energy, how difficult is it to get them from the lip service to mobilizing for change?
Well, it's not terribly difficult. You know, we had a few events that GPACE helped host at the Capitol last year, last session, and one of them was a clean energy day, and we saw, you know, over 200 people come in on a Wednesday to the Capitol, middle of the morning, and we had people bust in from Hutch, we had people bust in from Salina, we had people come in from Wichita, people who said, this is something I want. My legislator has not yet reflected the opinion I have, and I am here, it is so important to me that I'm here to make my voice heard. I've got, you know, people I talk to on campuses, a guy I talked to from Holcomb, he was from Holcomb, he had a family who had a farm there, and a lot of it hinged on, you know, I don't want the expansion of coal production in my backyard if it's got all these risks and it's got all these health concerns as well. If there's another option out there that's more viable and will bring better growth and more jobs, give me that chance. And, you know, he came regularly. He wrote his congressman, or I'm sorry, his state legislator. He went in and met with her. And so I don't think that the activism isn't there. And I think that energy is such a personal issue. You know, it's something we see in a bill every month. It's something that you see on a meter outside your house. It's something you watch the lights come on and off. It's tangible in that manner, and I think that people respond to that.
In terms of renewable energy in Kansas politics, who are the friends of renewable energy?
I think you've seen some great advocates of renewable energy in certain ways. You know, Senator Francisco was a really loud proponent of renewable energy throughout the session. At the same time, we're building a grassroots movement to let them know vocally, look, you've got the support in your constituency. You've got the support in your districts. Now we'll see, I think, more so than the last session and more so during this camp, you know, during the summer so far, tail end of this election and into next session, you'll see people who can step out and be a little more bold and say, I know what it looks like, I know what it sounds like, here's what we can do.
Now, how about our governor, Kathleen Sebelius? She got a lot of caused a lot of ruckus in the press vetoing these coal plants, but was that really an effective stop?
I think they're saying the same thing in a lot of ways, that, look, let's just weigh our options. Let's get into this new industry. Let's find out what we can get out of it, maximize our efficiency in the existing energy production we have, and then let's see moving forward. You don't sort of roll the ball out on something as lasting as energy. You don't make a decision now that's going to last 50, 75, 100 years if you don't know what's there.